Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:50 p.m. and that is Central Time. And today is May 4th. And Jay Powell just finished his press conference, and there were no real big surprises. And in fact, he probably came out a little bit more dovish than the market had been anticipating. So they did go ahead and raise interest rates by 50 basis points. And they also said that perhaps they will do the same thing next time round. It'll certainly be discussed and be on the table. But they're not going to put 75 basis points on the table to discuss at any point in the near future. They're not ruling it out, but they're not saying that they're going to do it either. Then when it comes to quantitative tightening, they had already said that they're going to taper by $95 billion a month, but then it's not going to actually reach a point of tapering by that much for another 3 months. They're not going to start immediately. They're going to start at the beginning of June, and it's going to be $47.5 billion for, and then ramp higher to reach $95 billion within 3 months. So even though we're getting quantitative tightening, it's not quite as quick as investors had been anticipating. And we've had a really a great deal of sell the rumor buy in the last month. So now there's the opportunity to buy the dip. And this was equally true for the UK. So the Bank of England came out and raised rates in here today, but we didn't really have a great deal of support in the pound until the Fed's decision. So less weak, I guess, a less weak pound versus a less strong dollar is contributing to a rebound now on sterling, and it's really very oversold. So certainly beginning to demonstrate at least near-term support in the 125 area. And there is certainly scope for a reversion back up towards the trend mean. Of course, we're still in a range that's been underway now for 7 years. And then the euro was also a little steadier in here today, so up almost a cent and bouncing from the 105 area, which is the lower side of the range. And this is a 7-year range. So we're very oversold for these currencies. The dollar is very overbought, and it does look increasingly likely that we're going to get at least some steadier action for the next 4 or 5 weeks. So that's positive for commodities, and most particularly, it's positive for gold. And gold prices are right in the region of the 200-day moving average, and they did what they needed to do today. They bounced. So this is at least near-term support in the region of the 200-day moving average. Oil prices were also up in a pretty dynamic manner today, in excess of $5. Now there's been an evolving wedging characteristic to the price action, where we have a clearly consistent sequence of lower rally highs, and then an incremental sequence of higher reaction lows, just each being just marginally higher than the last. When this pattern breaks, it's going to res probably represent a very dynamic move. Because it's a range, then we have two competing arguments. The first is that the war in Ukraine is going to have long tail effects. That the Eurozone is talking about stopping imports altogether, or the EU is at least, and that's obviously going to have a negative effect on the entire European economy. And there's also estimates that perhaps it's going to knock GDP by a really significant amount. So I thought that this was a particularly interesting chart where it shows the clear response from European growth to much higher oil prices. And of course, that feeds through into the second condition, which is that higher oil prices, tighter monetary conditions would contribute to lower demand, potentially economic stagnation, and therefore less demand for oil, so prices would come back down. But of course, they don't have these two factors don't have to be coincident. It's quite possible that we get one first and then the other. So high oil prices are certainly potentially to be expected, and natural gas was also really quite firm in here today, and up an additional 40 cents. So when we see these kinds of moves where natural gas is moving almost half a dollar a day, and well, then it's obviously an accelerated trend, but it's clearly holding the breakout. And I think these are this is a really quite an important development that we're seeing natural gas breaking out of its base formation, and it's not weather related. And those big spikes that we've had over the course of the last 20 years have almost universally been weather related. So we're in a different environment right now where consideration for the environment and worry about climate change is obviously having a negative effect on investments in the sector. But they're still totally essential. Now, I'm also seeing increasing numbers of articles from multiple different sources about wet bulb measurements for temperature, and the speculation that we're going to see increasingly dangerous climate conditions, particularly in places like Pakistan and India. Well, India obviously has a very large population, and it's a very young population, and the market was in negative territory today. They've been going through a really quite profound heat spell, with the warmest March in at least 100 years. So there is obviously an evolving trade in the commodity complex based around volatility in climate. And India announced today that they're going to ban wheat exports. So that provided much needed support for the price. And it was up 30 cents, and beginning to offer some evidence of support here towards the lower side of this evolving range. There's the clear possibility that we're not going to see agricultural prices going straight back down, and instead that they might hold higher levels for longer, to the extent that we have exceptionally warm weather in India. Well, it was the frost in São Paulo that was the initial catalyst behind the move higher in Arabica coffee, and it's beginning to demonstrate support in the region of the 200-day moving average. And this isn't, or it might be the hangover from weather conditions, but the other big factor for the commodity prices is that the global population continues to rise, and that means that we're under duress to try and increase supply of key commodities against a background where there's a lot more climate volatility and there are a lot more people living in uncertain climate conditions, whether that's on coastlines internationally or in areas where there are profoundly difficult heat conditions. And I think that these kinds of things are going to get priced into the commodity complex over time. Now, when we think about stock markets, well, if the dollar is starting to weaken and the Federal Reserve wasn't quite as hawkish as people had been anticipating, then bond yields can start to come back down. So the 10-year yield was down by about 5 basis points, and pausing in the region of the 3 and a bit percent, or the 3% level. Now, the 2-year yield had a downside key reversal. So that's at least pricing in the scope that perhaps bond yields have risen too quickly. To the extent that bond yields are starting to come back down, then that acts as a salve for the stock market. So the Nasdaq 100 rebounded really quite impressively today. It was up over 400 points, and that's clearly evidence of some support in the region of the 13,000 level and the lower side of this range that's been evolving for the last 2 months. Now, we still have an oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average, so it does still have work to do. And it's not like the Federal Reserve has said that they're going to stop quantitative easing. It's simply that they're not going to pursue it at quite the same swift pace that investors had been worried about. So we certainly have scope for a reversion back up towards the mean. And that's going to be beneficial for all risk assets. So when we look at the IPO ETF, it really does need to find support. Now, we had the upside weekly key reversal a few months ago, almost 2 months ago, in the middle of March, and it failed. It came down to a new low. Now, the potential is that if this ETF can continue to move higher, it could also put in an upside weekly key this week. And that's a softening up process in terms of the overall medium-term downtrend. Now, one thing that I've been paying attention to is the number of shares that are trading below their respective 200-day moving averages. We're down to about 32%. Now, this isn't quite as low as the kinds of conditions we saw in 2020 or in 2018 or even in 2015, but it is quite similar to the lows that we saw immediately after the credit crisis, which was in 2010. And we're also 2 years on from the worst of the selling pressure in 2020. So, back in 2009, the market bottomed in March and then really had an exceptionally impressive rebound, and just about everything went up. And then we had some thinning out of what were the sectors that were going to do best. And then subsequently, the market started to rebound. So we had a good lengthy period of consolidation, ranging, messy activity, and it lasted more than a year. And then we had another good move on the upside. Then we had another decline in 2011 and a rebound from that. And then another big decline in 2015 through to the beginning of 2016. So it's certainly possible that we get a more substantial rebound in here. And of course, that will be very much dependent on liquidity and just how much money is going to chase the market higher from here. And I suspect that it's potentially quite a lot of money, because there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, and we've had a substantial pullback already. And considering just how much markets have tended to move on the upside, well, then there'd be lots of people still willing to buy the dip. And Bitcoin was stronger by about $2,000 in here today. So this is also confirming near-term support in the region of previous lows, and beginning to question the consistency of this downtrend from the peak in very late March. Of course, Bitcoin is a risk asset, and perhaps it is the riskiest of assets. So it tends to be really exceptionally sensitive to flow. So I think that's rather important. Now, the Chinese market's going to reopen in here tomorrow. Now, the Hang Seng index was in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. And when we think about liquidity, well, the big bet is that China is going to be, there's a word in the Irish language called Fláthiúil, and it means to be a splashy spender. And I think that might be what we might describe the efforts by the Chinese government to try and turn around the economy. They'll be splashy spenders, so that they'll help to reinstill confidence. That's historically been the pattern, and it's been the kind of signal that property investors have waited for in the Chinese market. So it's quite possible that that's what we're going to see from China when it reopens. And the fact that the Fed wasn't quite as hawkish as people feared, I think that's also quite a positive development for asset prices. So it's quite likely that some of the short-term oversold conditions are going to be unwound, and that this will indeed look like a sell the rumor, buy the news type of event. But of course, we also then need to remember that quantitative tightening is only just starting. And they said in plain English today, they want to try and bring demand back under control. And that does mean slower growth. And it does mean less liquidity. So we're going to get a good short-term rally. But then the question is, what happens from there? And will earnings potential rebound from some of the more other disappointing figures that we've had in the aftermath of the first quarter? But that's probably something that is going to occupy minds a few weeks from now. In the short term, there's the scope for bond yields to start to come down, for the dollar to ease, and for Wall Street to begin to rebound. And that should then also be beneficial for everywhere else as well. So the FTSE 250 is right in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and it was in negative territory today following the Bank of England raising rates. But I suspect it will be bouncing in here tomorrow. And this is a key level where demand needs to return to dominance in order to demonstrate that support is coming back in at higher levels. So there are many European indices look just like this. But the energy sector continues to lead on the upside, and European or the Euro stocks oil and gas index is still trending higher and has just about now recouped all of the decline put in early 2020, and still trending higher. And if oil breaks on the upside, well, then that's going to be a clear signal for investors to, I think, redouble their efforts to buy oil and gas producers. So this is, I guess, a good news day from the perspective of the bulls. And we're definitely seeing more interest in defensive type stocks. So as long as commodities are doing reasonably well, then that's going to be a benign influence for the material sector, for the energy sector. And copper prices rebounded really quite impressively from the lows in here today. So there's the potential that we're seeing a higher reaction low starting to come through. And the copper miners ETF has also rebounded from the region of the 200-day moving average. So that's bouncing where it needed to. We've seen a rather significant pullback in the LME Metals Index, and it's also now right in the region of that 200-day moving average. So we're seeing quite a few markets that have pulled back in the region of their respective trend means. Then we've seen lots of accelerated trends that are starting or that are hanging out there to be unwound. And that's most particularly true of the dollar and bonds and Wall Street. So we might be seeing a little bit of a reversal right now. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.